All right, guys, Pope Francis is making headlines again, and it's not good. This seriously proposes the question that I want to ask our audience today. Could Pope Francis, this current Pope, could he be the false prophet of Revelation chapter 13, or will he move out of the way, expire, retire, whatever that looks like, and make way for the final Pope that will eventually emerge to be the fulfillment of the false prophet in Revelation 13. I know this is a lot to chew on today, but we're going to tackle this subject today. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Thursday, October 17, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We want to welcome everybody to the program this afternoon that are on here by YouTube or Rumble. Maybe you're tuning in from Apple or Spotify, of course. All of our regular audience and viewers, if you're new to the program, we welcome you. We hope you let us know where you guys are tuning in from. If you can comment in the section below, whatever platform you're in or in the chat on YouTube, let us know where you guys are joining us from and that you're new, and we would love to acknowledge you as well. Listen, before we get started on today's topic, can you do me a favor? Did you know that when you hit the like button on this program, it's going to help push it out there on the algorithm so other people can enjoy our content just as much as you do. So we would love if you guys can help us out do that. If you can help us do that, it would be a great benefit to us. And for your benefit, if you hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, it'll help you keep up on these platforms, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you're watching from. So it's no secret, guys, that the Pope is literally making waves. In fact, let me show you this. I want to show you this headline. Pope Francis faces growing revolt. Pope Francis faces growing revolt. Pope Francis is facing growing dissent among members of the Catholic Church over recent decisions that opponents portray as contrary to traditional church doctrine. The most controversial has been the publication of a document. This was back in December of 2023 by a Vatican bishop with the Pope's approval, moting the possibility of blessing couples in irregular situations and same-sex couples. According to this publication, while the document stressed that it did not change the church's stance on homosexuality, it brought a joint letter from Catholic clergy and scholars calling on others to disregard it. Previously, in his 11-year tenure as the head of the church, the pontiff has raised eyebrows by suggesting that even atheists could go to heaven and saying that he did not judge homosexuals, as well as taking a softer stance on abortion and remarriage. Now, I know that's a lot to take in right there. Let's stop for a second, and I want to highlight that. Here, there is growing dissent among the members of the Catholic Church. I don't know if we'll have anybody listening today or watching that is part of the Catholic Church. If so, you probably already aware of this. But Catholics have always had a very strong stance. Now, I don't agree with all their doctrine. Let me let you know that up front. But they have generally, traditionally speaking, they have always had a very strong stance on the area of the topic of abortion. We know that for sure. And in the past, they have always been very stern on against homosexuality. But the tide is turning. It's changing. The winds of change have blown in, and we have a new era. And this current pope. Has raised eyebrows, suggesting even atheists could go to heaven. He made a statement saying it is not his place to judge homosexuals, even though the Word of God talks about this plainly, as well as taking a softer stance on abortion and remarriage. So all of these key values and standards that the Catholic Church upheld for traditions and decades, is now the standard is being lowered by this current pope. Experts who spoke to Newsweek cast these tensions as an ideological clash between those in the church who wish to reform its message and those who want to conserve its traditional teachings, which reflects a broader cultural war between liberal and conservative ideas. Now, you know what this is saying, guys? That for most of us who are in the Protestant, Pentecostal, charismatic churches that make up most of our audience, and we always talk about, you know, the falling away is coming in, it's crept into, the defection of truth has crept in here, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils has crept into these mainline churches. But guys, it's not just, again, it's not just the Protestant, it's not just the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. Again, even the Catholic Church is no exception. There is claims that rather from departing from the core principles of the faith, Francis is simply attempting to reach out to those who might, quote, not conform to a traditional view of family life to give them greater spiritual guidance without seeking to alter church doctrine. But there's a problem with that. You cannot accept a lifestyle that the Bible clearly says will send you to hell. You cannot condone an action that the Bible clearly calls an abomination and is one of seven things that God hates. You can't lower the standards, guys, and contradict the Word of God in order to try to reach people for God. It doesn't happen. Light and darkness does not mix. You can't do this. Now, Michelle Dillon, who is a sociologist and dean of the University of New Hampshire's College of Liberal Arts, who specializes in the Catholic Church, made a profound statement to Newsweek publication. I want you to hear what she said. Quote, "When Pope Francis first became pope, I'd say very early on, he really distinguished himself from his immediate predecessors, Benedict and John Paul II. Did you hear that? This woman who specializes in studying and observing and understanding the Catholic Church noted that this pope, when he became pope very early on, quote, distinguished himself from his immediate predecessors before him. In an open letter opposing the possibility of same-sex blessings, which was published back in February, over 100 Catholic leaders called on Francis to, quote, urgently withdraw this unfortunate document, which is in contradiction with both Scripture and the universal and uninterpreted tradition of the church. They argued that this would basically be putting a blessing on objectively sinful relationships. The Pope reacted to these 100 leaders by accusing them of being naysayers of hypocrisy, wow, arguing that they were willing to let him bless someone who exploits people despite it also being considered a sin. And then there was the blasphemous claim that he made back in September, wherein he made headlines all over the world. It made waves in the Catholic Church and was even it garnished a rebuke by the clergy. Pope Francis claimed that, quote, all religions are a path to God. Excuse me. All religions are a path to God. Now, some of y'all remember this because we talked about this in detail in one of our podcasts. But during a 3-day visit to Singapore, Pope Francis declared that, quote, all religions are a path to God, sparking backlash among religious leaders in the United States. The statement was made at an interreligious meeting with young people at a Catholic junior college shortly before his departure back to Rome, departing from his prepared remarks, so he completely went off cuff. Francis spoke off the cuff, stating that different religions are, quote, like different languages to reach God. quote, if you start to fight, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will this lead us? He asked. According to Crooks Now, quote, there's only one God and each of us has a language to arrive to God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, and they are, quote, different paths to God. Again, guys, this is an absolute blasphemous. It's heresy. It's flat out heresy. Jesus made it specifically clear there's one way to heaven and it's through him. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. There is no other way. All are thieves, robbers, and all of the alike. Jesus said, I am the doorkeeper of the gate. Or I'm the gatekeeper of the fold. And he says, if you try to come up any other way, if you try to enter heaven through any other means, you will be cast out. You will not make it to heaven. You have to go through Jesus Christ. Folks, why else would he have come and died on the cross, the gruesome death that he did? So let's recap this real quick. Again, there's the Pope, this current Pope is facing a growing revolt over his soft stance on marriage and divorce and same-sex marriages and homosexuality. And then he took it a step further and made this heretical statement that all paths are just different, quote, languages, but they're all ways to get to the same God. This is this Oprah Winfrey stuff. That's the same stuff most of these Hollywood people believe. Okay, and then I want to show you the latest one. Now, this is a new report. Pope Francis, look at this headline, guys, is open to appointing trans-friendly bishops. Wow. The Pope has privately expressed a desire to appoint bishops in the United States who are more welcoming to transgender Catholics. He allegedly made the comment this past Saturday at his private residence during a meeting with 11 Catholics who are either transgender or intersex or supporters of those groups. The encounter lasted 80 minutes and was arranged by the New Ways Ministry, which is an American group championing LGBT Catholics. Wow. Five participants, including a transgender man and a doctor who jointly heads a clinic providing gender affirmation hormonal care, shared personal testimonies with Francis about their experiences of transgender issues. He responded with comments and questions. Quote, Francis mentioned that the situations experienced by transgender people would be more on his mind. Raymond DeVere, who is a retired Catholic deacon with an adult transgender daughter, who read one of the testimonies, said, quote, he said that when he appoints new bishops in the U.S., he will, quote, consider the openness to transgender people as criteria. Wow, guys, wow. Look at the contrast difference of this Pope. And I know this is the Catholic Church, and you say, well, I'm not Catholic, but guys, we're going somewhere with this. I need you to bear with me, okay? All this is going to, I promise you, I know we're on a side road, but we're getting ready to get on the main highway, and we're going to get to our final destination in just a second. But look at, let me remind you, the Bible says that one of the main major thing that will usher in the arrival of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Because remember, the false prophet comes alongside and works with the Antichrist together. And you're in his church to the Thessalonians, Paul said, there must come a falling away first, which is a defection from the truth. And I believe after seeing stuff like this going on, and seeing what's happening with the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church, all religions who once had a standard of morality that lined up with the Bible, all of them are going to be susceptible to the falling away. They will all be victims to this. Every denomination, every one of them. I don't care if it's Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy. I don't care if it's Baptist, Southern Baptist, First Baptist, Second, Third. Come on, First God, Second God, Glory to God. I don't care what denomination, what background. If we're truly in the last days, this has got to happen. And what's on one hand, what's frightening, but on the other hand, what is very exciting is where I want to, where I'm taking you right now, what I want to show you. All right, I need you to go to your Bible, open your Bible. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify, you're going to need your Bible. Go ahead and grab it, open it up to Revelation chapter 13. You guys that are watching on YouTube and Rumble, I've got the scripture pulled up right here. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. From Revelation 13, 1 through 10, it is the introduction of the Antichrist. Antichrist comes up, he rises up out of the sea. It gives you the description of who he is, but that's not who we're focusing on today. And when you get to verse 11, John saw another beast coming up out of the earth. It's right there on your screen, who had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This man will perform great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He will also be responsible for deceiving those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He will cause all, both small, great, rich, free, poor, and slave to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All of that is done by the false prophet, not the Antichrist. Now let's break this down. The first beast rose up out of the sea. The second beast rises up from the earth, implying here that this second beast will rise among men. He will arise among a civilization or among those in the earth. This is the only place in the entire New Testament that the lamb symbolism here is not referring to Jesus Christ, but is clearly an indication that whomever this individual is that will rise up will be a false Christ. He will be one who will appear as Jesus, but his true nature will be evident by the one in whom will be speaking through him or empowering him to speak, which again, your Bible says in Revelation 13 is the dragon. Okay? Let me give you quick 10 facts about this false prophet that's coming, Revelation 13. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. So if you want to take notes, again, go back, take notes, but we got to go through. I don't want this to be an hour and 15 minute podcast. These are quicker messages, but I want to get this out to you. Number one, he has two horns like a lamb. Number two, he will speak like a dragon. Number three, he causes the earth to worship the Antichrist. Number four, he performs great signs and wonders with the help of demons and Satan. Number five, he makes fire come down out from heaven in the sight of men. Number six, he will deceive those who dwell on the earth by these signs. Number seven, he commands an image to be made and created by the people of the earth to worship the first beast. Number nine, he will be granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. And number 10, he will institute this buying and selling system, which we identify as this beast system or image or mark of the beast system. The Bible says that this false prophet will, this beast rising up out of the earth has two horns on his head. In the Bible, when you go through the Bible and you see these symbolism, this is why a lot of people don't read the book of Revelation, because they get intimidated by all the symbology and the pictures and types and shadows. But Again, scripture will interpret itself. There's what's called the law of first mention. You got to go back and find out where these symbols are first mentioned and what did they represent. For example, the horns in the Bible represent authority. Many scholars and theologians believe that the two horns here represent that this, whoever this man is, he will exercise authority over a political head and a religious head. Let me say that again. He will have authority over a political system and a religious system. Now, the Antichrist is a man of war. Read it. The Bible says, who can make war with the beast? Daniel says he goes forth conquering to conquer. Okay? He comes first in a diplomacy of peace. Yes, he is the white horse with the bow with no arrows. He comes on the scene in a diplomacy of peace. But and that's only for 42 months. Once he breaks that treaty and the 42-month mark or 3.5 years, then his true identity is known and he begins to make war with the Jewish people. Okay? So, but the false prophet, again, he will have a level of authority over the political arena and over the religious arena. This is why many of us in Bible prophecy have said there's coming a one world religion, a one world government, and a one world currency. And this is going to be the guy who's responsible for putting it all together. It is believed that this man will demonstrate two major religions, both which will be apostate. So he will take two major religions and he will form a one world religion. Again, two horns. There's so many. And again, guys, I'm not going to try to be absolute here and say, well, this is absolutely the interpretation. What I'm doing, guys, is gathering the intel, information, research, and study of many scholars and theologians that's been in this thing longer than I've been alive. And I'm putting it all together for you. And you could do what you want with that. But it is believed that this false prophet will institutionalize and he will lead a false apostate form of Christianity. Now, I can show you from the Bible that I have no doubt that whatever this false religion is that this false prophet will put into place, it will deny the deity of Christ and will lead multitudes into error and apostasy, pointing them to the first beast, which is the Antichrist. Now, there are many that believe that Christianity and Islam could very well be the two religions that will, and again, when I say Christianity, I'm talking about an apostate form of Christianity, kind of like what this Pope is representing now and what he's demonstrating. It's an apostate form of Christianity. It's not the sound, true Christianity of the Bible, okay, in the early church and what they taught. It's this watered down, apostate, lukewarm, blasphemous Christianity, and it will mingle with Islam. Now, why is that important? Because you got to remember, friends, that this Antichrist will come. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't even open this can of worms. Whatever religion this is, remember the false prophet points to the Antichrist to worship him. Now, this Antichrist will attack Jews. He will come against Christians. He will come against the God of heaven, and he will make blasphemous statements. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John, again, I told you I'm going to go through these pretty quick, guys. 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 7 all tell us what are the characteristics of the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit that's all mentioned. And let me give you those. Who is a liar? This is 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, he is Antichrist. He that denies the Father and the Son, 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God and is the spirit of Antichrist. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is Antichrist. So the religion of the false prophet and the Antichrist, we know right off the bat, it's going to deny the deity of Christ. It's going to deny the relationship of the Father and the Son. It's going to deny that Christ came in the flesh as the Son of God and as the Messiah. And he, who is he who is a liar? He is Antichrist. So this is, I'm giving you the manifesto of the Antichrist. I'm giving you the very characteristics of the Antichrist. All this is going to play into it. Now you say, that's great, Brother Ricky, but what's this got to do with Pope Francis? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, in the 12th century, in 1139, there was an individual by the name of Saint Malachy. He was an archbishop of Armagh, whom several miracles were attributed to in the 12th century. Malachy went to Rome from Ireland to give an account of his affairs when he, quote, reportedly received a strange vision about the future, including the names of 112 future popes. Now, again, you can do what you want with that. I'm giving you the information. Again, according, this is all out there, that this Saint Malachy, who allegedly received visions of the future regarding a cessation of popes, and wherein which he said there would be 112 popes. There's what's called the prophecy of the 111th pope. And then let me give you this quote: in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman, who will feed his flock amid many tribulations, after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed and the dreadful judge will judge the people. Now, this was a prophecy, again, made back in the 12th century by St. Malachy. Now, if the seven-hilled city sounds familiar, that's mentioned in the book of Revelation with Mystery Babylon that's destroyed. So this archbishop, St. Malachy, he declared that there would be the cessation of popes. And I'm going to give you what he said, the final, and I don't want to read all these. You can go research this. You can go on Wikipedia, whatever you want. You can just, all you got to do is Google it out, and it'll give you the list of all these popes. It's pretty stunning, because a lot of these actually were pretty stunning. For example, I'll give you John Paul II, which reigned from 1978 to 2005. And we'll go from there, and we'll go up to the current pope. According to Malachy, this pope that would be, what would he be, 109, I believe, the 109th pope would be known as the eclipse of the sun, or from the labor of the sun. And from 1978 to 2005 was the reign of John Paul II, which he, consequently, this individual was born on May 18th, 1920, during a solar eclipse. Wow. He also comes from behind the former Iron Curtain, which is the east where the sun rises. All right, then he moves out of the way, and then another pope comes in. This is Benedict the 16th, and the Benedictine order traditionally said this pope would come from their order, since a branch of the Benedictine order is called the Olivetans. Saint Benedict is said to have prophesied that before the end of the world, a member of his order would be a pope and would triumphantly lead the church in its fight against evil. While the Holy Father chose the name Benedict, this does not seem enough to fulfill the prophecy, nor does it clear out Benedict 16th. Is glory of the olive, since he is said to have remarked in the conclave after saying he would take the name Benedict, that it would partially honor Benedict the 15th, a pope of peace and reconciliation. Perhaps Benedict the 16th will be a peacemaker in the church or in the world and thus carry the olive branch. And this, here's where it gets interesting. According to Malachy, the final pope that would rise, and some say this could, Pope Francis, this current pope that's in office now in the Catholic Church could be the final pope. Here's what Malachy said. Quote, in extreme persecution, the seat of the Holy Roman Church will be occupied by Peter the Roman, who will feed the sheep through many tribulations, at the term of which the city of seven hills will be destroyed, and the formidable judge will judge his people, the end. Now, what's interesting, the father of this current pope that's in office was Peter or Pietro, and was from Italy, even though the family moved to Argentina. So some are saying this guy is the final pope. But is he? I don't know that. Only we, and again, this raises up all kinds of questions. Number one, how much stock can we put in this alleged prophecy by St. Malachy? Well, guys, again, I don't have time to break. It'd take an hour to break all this down. But he, again, he declared there'd be 112 popes. And he nailed it on almost every one of these, if not all of them. So it would be suffice to say that he's going to be pretty accurate when it comes to the last pope. But what's interesting is, if this is the final pope that we're seeing and we're watching, and could this be why we're seeing the slow decline of the traditional standards of the Catholic Church, where it's going into full apostate? Because remember, it's according to Malachy, this final pope will feed the sheep through many tribulations, but it never said what he's going to feed them. It just said that he will be present during it says many tribulations, but it's interesting because he talks about a city of seven hills being destroyed, which happens during the tribulation. So let me wrap it up and say this. This is what I'm trying to say. Keep your eyes on what's happening with the pope, because it is very possible that we could be looking at the false prophet of Revelation 13, number one. Number two, or he is going to simply, he's going to step aside, he's going to retire, he could die, and the next pope that comes in could very well be the next pope. Now, I know they've been saying this for years, but guys, it is getting very interesting, because even when we go back 4 years ago, 8 years ago, when some were making this claim, well, this is the final pope, this has got to be the final pope, that pope did not lead people astray like this pope. This is the only pope I've ever seen. I stand to be corrected, because there may be some people out there that are very more knowledgeable in the Catholic Church. But to my knowledge, I've never seen a pope in all my years of living that has been this apostate. And this is why I'm shining the light on this guy on today's podcast, because I think this is something of great interest. Because here's why. I'm going to wrap it up right here, because again, I've laid out all the facts here. There is coming a false prophet, Revelation 13. He will be a defective, what it looks to be a defective leader that will merge from two major religions that will be apostate and form a one world religion. This guy will have the empowerment and the stamp of approval of Satan, be able to perform lying signs and wonders and deceive even the very elect if it were possible. He will come aside the Antichrist. This false prophet, whoever this is, will create a buying, selling, and trading system wherein which you will have to pledge your allegiance to the religion of this false prophet and the Antichrist, or you'll flat starve to death, or you'll be killed if you don't take the mark. And number two, this false prophet will inquire a group of people, the people of the earth, to create an image of the beast. All that is done by I know a lot, most people focus on the Antichrist, but I'm telling you, this dude, whoever this a false prophet is, he is a major player in Bible prophecy, and I don't think he gets a lot. I don't think he gets enough attention. I don't think we talk about this as much as we should. But there's coming an apostate one world religion. I absolutely believe that. a one world apostate religion, and it will completely deny the very fundamentals of Christianity. It will deny, again, we went over that, everything the Antichrist spirit denies, the deity, the sonship, the fact that he will be the Messiah. It will deny all of this, and it will set the stage for everything we read about in the book of Revelation. So listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, listen to me, please. Download our free app. This is how you keep up with our ministry. Get it today. Get it on Apple. Get it on Google. You can go to your Apple store, your Android store, pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to get a podcast like this. You're going to get breaking news. You're going to get prophecy updates. You're going to get every headline. All of it's going to be right there. Encouragement, equipping, all of the above. We would love for you guys to download our free app today to keep up with our ministry. And of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, if it encourages you, it exhorts you, it informs you, all of the above, we always want to give you an opportunity to partner with us. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, and there's ways, and you can to do that, you can go to the app. You can go to the main website. If you're watching by YouTube, or if you're watching by YouTube, at the very top, it's pinned where it says support in big letters. Just there's a link right there. If you're watching by Rumble, and in the description of this video, you'll see a link where you can give and support and partner with us. And if you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that by simply making out that check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. We should be back here tonight. And we've got an awesome message we want to get to you tonight. If you have a prodigal son or daughter, you don't want to miss tonight. We're going to do a reaction video, a powerful testimony. It's going to build your faith. We're going to pray at the end of it. So we're taking a break from prophecy and all that. So tonight, again, tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. We got a message for everyone that's listening who has a prodigal son or daughter or someone in your family, in your circle of friends, someone you care about that has went astray, and you're praying, believing for them. This testimony is going to rock you to the core. It's going to build your faith. It's going to get you back in that posture of prayer and intercession and begin to believe for that prodigal son or daughter to come back to the fold in Jesus' name. So we will see you tonight. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.